Now on Radio 4, come with us, if you will, to the Lyric Theatre in the heart of London's glittering West End, where we join the I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue teams and an all-star cast for a unique reworking of a well-loved children's classic, Humph in Wonderland.
It all began on a typical English summer's afternoon. Later, with Wimbledon finished, Humph sat on the bank of a river. A delicious picnic tea had been provided by Nanny Vigors, laid out on a red and white checkered tablecloth.
Get up, Nanny. I want to have my tea on that.
Humph was feeling bored and soon became sleepy. But Nanny's snoring kept him awake. The sun was unbearable and the Daily Mail wasn't much better. So Humph threw them both aside and turned to the Daily Telegraph crossword.
Now, what does this mean? Ah, yes, it means I should get a life.
But before he could get one, Humph was surprised to see a white rabbit hurrying along the riverbank.
Well, that's supper taken care of.
And so, dear listener, ends the tale of Humph in Wonderland. All right. Luckily, just at that moment, a second white rabbit came hurrying past. And to Humph's amazement, this rabbit pulled a gold watch out of his waistcoat pocket.
Hoy, bring that back.
Come back here, you light-fingered vermin.
Who are you?
Lord bless you, Master Humphrey. I'm your Nanny Vigors.
Oh, I didn't recognise you without my glasses on.
But I have got your glasses on.
Well, give them here. I'm blind as a cat without them.
You mean blind as a bat?
Looks like a cat to me.
No, it's a white rabbit, Master Humphrey. And you'd best be after it if you want your watch back.
Come back, come back.
I haven't gone anywhere.
I was talking to the rabbit.
Oh, well, away you go. But you mind to wrap up warm and put on clean underwear in case you get run over by a bus.
I promise you, if I get run over by a bus, the last thing I'm going to have is clean underwear.
And, oh, I almost forgot. Remember not to go falling down no mysterious deep dark holes in the ground. Off you go.
Come back, you rabbit.
Humph ran like a gazelle. On all fours. On all fours, bouncing over bushes. And soon he saw the rabbit just ahead of him disappearing into a mysterious deep dark hole in the ground.
Now, what was it Nanny Vigors warned me about mysterious deep dark holes in the ground?
Pausing only to change his underwear, Humph plunged in.
Whoa! Gotcha.
How did you find me in the dark?
Playing that swanny whistle gave your position away. Who are you?
I am Colin, the white rabbit.
Oh, dear. Is that a grand piano in front of you, or are you unbelievably pleased to see me?
Well, it's an upright.
Good. For a moment, I thought it was a piano.
Look at the time. I'm late. And to make matters worse, it's the rush hour.
With that, the rabbit vanished down a nearby tunnel. Before he could follow, Humph was amazed to see the underground chamber begin to fill with the strangest collection of talking animals and birds dressed in human clothing coming down the escalator.
That's incredible. I've never seen a working escalator before. What are you?
I'm Tim the Mouse. And these are my colleagues. This is Jeremy the dog.
Row, row.
Andy the cow.
Moo.
And this is Jack the halibut.
Oh, yeah, thanks for nothing.
And how do you do? I'm Baz the dodo. And here's Graham the chicken.
Cluck, cluck.
And this is Lou Duck.
Lou?
Short for toilet.
How do you do? Nice to meet you. Yeah.
No turkeys, then.
Are you and yours Christmas specialist tomorrow? I see what you mean.
I'm amazed you can all talk.
Oh, down here there's talking insects and talking flowers.
We've got flashers and drunks, too.
It's a weird world in the underground.
Mind the gap. In reality, the next hallucination will be arriving at this platform in 300 colours.
I'm after that white rabbit. He pinched a watch out of my waistcoat pocket.
But you're not wearing a waistcoat.
Bastard. He's had the waistcoat as well.
You'd better get home before you lose anything else.
Where do you live?
Oh, I have a little pied-à-terre.
Oh, it's probably just the excitement.
I have a little place in Mornington Crescent.
Well, you can't go back the way... You can't go back the way you came. The escalator isn't working.
Broken, I suppose.
No, there's nothing wrong with it. They had to switch it off because it confused the passengers.
But however am I going to find my way home to Mornington Crescent?
Perhaps we could help you.
Good idea. I'd like you to form two teams. Birds on one side. Birds on one side and the rest of you on the other.
Humph, before we do that, shouldn't we check if there's any post in the mailroom first?
There might be something stuffed in our pigeonhole.
There is!
How do you know?
I'm the pigeon!
Pass it over. Ah, it's a letter from a Mrs. Trellis of North Wales. She writes, "Dear Dr. Livingston, I presume, I hear you've taken a missionary position in Africa. Mind you don't put your back out. Yours, etc., Mrs. Trellis. And on with the game, teams. I'd like you to get me home in as few moves as possible, making full use of Dodgson's parallel rotation. And, Tim, you can start."
Right, well, representing the animals. Yeah. Shall I go? Yeah. Go. Elephant and Castle?
Yes.
Yes.
Well done.
Birds, what do you think? Oh, yeah, good idea. Cock Fosters.
She's done Cock Fosters. I've got it. Catford.
Isle of Dogs.
Oh.
Hey.
Very good.
No, but I can still go. I can still. Heron Keys.
Yeah.
Canary Wharf.
Red Lion Square.
Nice one, Jerry.
Be all right,
be careful. Yeah,
easy,
no.
Easy.
I want to avoid it. Could, no, I want to avoid Nip. Chickadilly.
No, I don't think so.
Hendon Central.
White Horse Lane.
Mornington Crescent.
Yeah. Oh!
In fact, they weren't at Mornington Crescent at all. Humph was left standing outside a little house. He saw at once it was the house of Colin the White Rabbit, because there was a sign in the window saying, "Piano lessons."
Let's hope some passing piano teacher takes pity and answers his appeal.
Humph entered the house and found a table with a selection of food and drink. There was a triple-decker cheese and bacon, toasted egg muffin, beef and lard burger with treacle relish.
There's a label on it. Supersize me. I think not. But here's a small cake with a label attached. What does it say?
Eat me.
Well, what does it expect me to do? Oh, there's more.
I'm no ordinary cake.
I'm a featherlight Victoria sponge. Tangy with the zest of anabolic steroids. Drizzled with testosterone. Finished with a fluffy topping of whipped somatropin growth hormone and dusted with EPO and dianabolin.
Well, it sounds organic. Let's give it a go. Bit stale, but not bad.
Humph suddenly felt very peculiar and realised that the ground was getting further and further away. He was growing taller at an alarming rate. Before he knew it, he was up to 30 feet, almost twice his normal height. At that moment, he noticed a little bottle on the table.
Looks like pond water. What does it say on the label? Drink me, warning, may contain newts. Well, let's risk it.
Within seconds, the contents of the bottle had an effect, and Humph shot up another 20 feet.
Don't you hate it when that happens?
His clothes fell off him in tatters as he expanded to fill the entire house. By the time he stopped growing, Humph was wearing the house like an overcoat. His head was sticking out of the chimney, his arms out of the bedroom windows, and his legs protruding underneath.
I just hope nobody tries to come in through the front door.
Humph set off down the road. Further down the road, Humph was surprised to see an enormous mushroom, and on it sat a huge caterpillar, puffing contentedly on a hooker.
Ah, thank you, my dear. I enjoyed that. And now, as is my custom, I shall light up.
It's not every day you see a caterpillar sitting on a mushroom smoking a pipe, playing the double bass with one hand and the piano with the other 29.
Well, you can't smoke indoors now. Come to that, it's not every day you see a 50-foot trumpeter wearing a house.
Ah, perhaps you could help me there. I'd like to return to my normal size, please.
There I can be of assistance, but I shall require a favour in return.
Typical caterpillar. Well, go on.
It's a tedious life, sitting out here all day, and I've run out of books. I wonder if you could suggest a few titles that would appeal to the dedicated smoker.
No, but I've got a bunch of creatures who've been following me around for longer than I care to remember. Right, you lot, any suggestions for the Smokers Book Club?
A Tale of Two Siggies.
Bridget Jones' Pipe.
Harry Pot.
Joseph Heller's great anti-smoking book, Patch 22.
Round Island with a Fag.
Great Expectorations.
Asterix the Gaulois.
Angela's Ashtrays.
The Habit by Tolkien.
Much Ado About Puffing.
Filter Tipping the Velvet.
The Pickwick Rizzlers.
The Welsh classic, How Green Was My Mucus.
Sense and Sensimilia.
The Curious Incident of the Dog End in the Night.
We need to talk about coughing.
Around the World on 80 a Day. Hamlet.
You know how it is. You wait ages for a joke and then none come along all at once. Now, how can I get back to my normal size?
Well, all you need do is eat some of my magic mushrooms.
Why do I seem to hear a little voice saying, just say no?
If you eat the left side of the mushroom, it'll make you bigger, and the right side makes you smaller.
What happens if I eat the middle?
I fall off.
Let's try it then. Left side first.
Well, that certainly works.
For goodness sake, what's where you put your left foot?
What?
Oh, well. Bang goes Orpington.
Oops. Imagine the insurance claim.
Oh, there won't be one. They have a £150 excess.
I'd better eat some of the right side.
Well, I think I may have overdone it.
Where have you gone?
I'm under this book, The Wit and Wisdom of Paris Hilton.
Goodness, you're microscopic. Try nibbling alternate sides until you're the right size.
Right you are. Here it goes.
Too big.
Too little.
Ow!
Am I back to normal?
Normal? Well, let's just say you're back to how you were before.
Thank you. Now, I shall be on my way.
You might want to find something to wear.
And so, thanking the caterpillar for his help, Hump set off in search of a smaller house to put on. Deep in the woods, our hero happened on a little house. As he was stealing some clothes he found on the line outside, he heard the most alarming sounds coming from within.
Duchess, there's somebody at the door as wants to come in.
Well, open the door then, cook.
Me? I'm cooking pepper soup. You open it yourself, your so-called duchessness.
Missed. Right, you asked for it.
Excuse me.
Don't you start.
Missed.
Don't you come swanking in here with your fancy ways and your long blonde hair and your little blue frock.
I found them on the clothesline.
You bad man.
Careful.
Pay no attention to Nigella. She puts too much pepper in everything. It has given the baby attention deficit disorder.
Has it?
Has what? Come in.
Excuse me, miss.
He's talking to you.
What is it?
It's your invitation, miss. Her Majesty the Queen of Hearts requests the pleasure of your company at her croquet knockout championship this afternoon. Bring your own bowls.
Croquet, eh? Thank you. Duchess, I couldn't help noticing that your footman has legs like a frog and a face like a fish.
Doesn't he just? We advertised for a daily and they sent us a darley. Intellectual joke one.
Will that be all, milady?
Yes, you may go, Lloyd Webber. I see you eyeing my little Wirral.
Am I?
Yes, Wirral, my pussy from Cheshire.
I see no cat, just an enormous cheesy grin as wide as the fireplace.
Hello, little girl.
Good heavens, a talking grin.
That's me. It's all down to my naturally cheerful nature.
I can imagine.
Like the frock, by the way.
Yes, I don't normally dress like this, but luckily the blue matches my eyeshadow.
You haven't got anything decent to eat, have you? I'm fed up with pepper.
Is that all they give you?
Pepper-based cuisine, morning, noon and night. Apparently pepper is this year's cranberry. It's all Nigella's fault.
Ah, the food goddess Nigella. What a fine dessert chef. She makes a wonderful sticky tart.
True. Much better than Gordon Ramsay. Hundreds and thousands on his spotted dick. Who's he trying to kid?
I'm sure my new friends can come up with something better than that. Right, everyone, I want you to come up with recipe suggestions for Nigella's saucy mouthfuls.
Winkles insider.
She's very good with ice cream dishes. I love to see her lick the nuts off a large Neapolitan. And there's Anthony Worrell Thompson's crabs on ginger nuts.
Lean back and fill it.
A nice alternative to Caesar salad is Caesar melons.
Cock in a van.
A full-bodied 69, you can keep your mac on.
Toad in the hole, then out of the hole, then in the hole, then out of the hole.
Aberdeen Angus underbelly with wild salmon top. After which you could have a sorbet.
It was hours before they finished coming up with ideas, but Humph gave them his undivided indifference, having left after the first few seconds. Soon he emerged from a clump of trees to see a cheery cottage with a table on the lawn laid out for a tea party.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, little girl.
I really must change out of this dress.
Pull up abruptly and sit down.
Thank you. I couldn't help noticing that you're a rabbit.
An easy mistake, but no, I am in fact a hatter. A prolonged exposure to nitrate of mercury has given me buck teeth, whiskers, and big hairy ears. On the plus side, I do a mean Richard Branson impression.
So who's this fellow in the top hat?
Why, this is the March Hare.
Hello, I'm completely mad, me.
Surely not.
Oh, yes. In fact, I'm so mad, I cut off my own foot for luck.
And I suppose this little creature peeping out of the teapot is the dormouse.
No, he's a weasel. He's tricking the tea for us.
We always drink Earl Grey, and we get him to test it out first.
We call it the Earl Grey Weasel Test.
Can I go now?
Yes, you've served your purpose.
That's rather a fine hat you're wearing.
Yes, the hatter made it for me. Do you want to buy it? Just 10 shillings and sixpence.
For the benefit of younger listeners, what's that in decimal currency?
Exactly 10.5 shillings.
Now then, young lady, I dare say you'd like a cup of tea.
I'd love a cup of tea.
Well, it's rude to ask, so bugger off!
Where did you learn your manners?
From this little book, the Mad Hatter's Book of Misleading Etiquette. It's all in here.
Well, perhaps you and your friends would care to read me a selection of tips to mislead the unsuspecting guest.
When a lady enters a room, always stand with the words, "Blimey, that one shot me right out of me seat."
When addressed by British royalty, they prefer for you to answer in German.
At this time of year, if your bin men knock on the door and give you a Christmas card, it's traditional to tear it up and say, "What do you come here for? The bin's around the back."
At a funeral, don't forget to throw an old mattress in the hole for luck.
When shown baby pictures, take an interest, saying things like, "I didn't know you two were cousins," or... or, "You know, you can do wonders with Photoshop."
If, when driving, a police car flashes you from behind, it means that you're not going fast enough.
British men consider you rude if you don't share their urinal.
If you don't know the words of football chants, entertain the opposing fans with songs from West Side Story.
The correct way to greet the Bishop of Southwark is, "Get out of my car, you're pissed, Your Grace."
No sooner had they finished, in fact, long before they had finished, Humph was on his way.
Goodbye, everyone. I'm off on my bicycle. Tax doesn't have to be taxing. But how am I going to get over this very high wall?
I will be more than happy to give you a hand up if you require it.
Who said that? Who said that?
I'm up here.
Hump was astonished to see a very peculiar figure sitting on top of the wall. He was quite round and smooth, about 5 feet tall, with a face and little arms and legs sticking out. In fact, he looked exactly like an egg. Well, a talking egg, about 5 feet tall, with a face and little arms and legs sticking out of it. If you have seen this egg, ring Egg Stoppers UK. Don't have nightmares.
Hello, who are you?
My name's Humphrey. What's yours?
Aha, that's a meter, though, and you to find extremely irritating.
Please yourself, I don't really want to know.
Oh, but you must know my name, otherwise you won't know what I am.
I think I've got a pretty good idea.
All names have meanings, you see. For instance, what does Humphrey mean?
Business, if this goes on much longer.
Oh, don't. Calm down, dear. Let me see. Humphrey. That could mean sweet-smelling, free from unpleasant odours.
What about Littleton?
Little ton. Well, a ton is a kind of cask or barrel, so a little ton...
Yes, yes, all right, I get the idea. Now, you look like an egg sitting on a wall, so I'm guessing you must be Humpty Dumpty.
Yes! Well done, Mr. Odorless Tiny Barrel. My name tells a melancholy story.
What does it mean?
Humpty Dumpty means one who has been humped and dumped.
Suddenly there appeared a crowd of gentlemen and ladies carrying enormous notebooks and quill pens. It was the editorial board of the Uxbridge English Dictionary.
Where did you lot come from?
We came through a big hole in the plot.
Now, do any of you know the difference in meaning between the word microscopic and minute? I thought not. Well, microscopic refers to something that's so small that it's not visible to the naked eye, whereas minute lives in my pond with my frog and my toad. But I expect the Uxbridge English Dictionary team have collected all sorts of new definitions, so let's hear a few.
Pastor, Italian priest.
Trail mix, to stalk Irish men.
Robust, Japanese sagging breasts.
Rambling, jewellery worn by sheep.
Cockney, damage to the patella from a long penis.
It's very painful, I don't know why you're laughing. Lockjaw, the correct emergency procedure for disabling Hazel Blears.
Collie wobble, that dog's pissed.
Battle axe, a boon for constipated bats.
Lavish, a bit like a toilet.
Animate, to grow too fond of your pets.
Agog, a half-finished Jewish temple.
Stopgap, to campaign against competitively priced denim. Cormorants, good heavens, extra insects.
Barman, a superhero who never quite notices anybody.
Baghdad, Anne Widdicombe's father.
Onus, a very round bottom.
Biceps, sexually ambivalent mushrooms.
Gravy, close to death.
Speculate, 24-hour opticians.
Granule, Father Christmas's mum.
Turbine, windy headgear.
Walrus, last exclamation of Russell's driving instructor.
Baltic, involuntary testicle spasm.
Well, that's enough of that. I've got an important croquet match to attend. Goodbye, Humpty.
I'll come with you, little girl. I love croquet. Help me down.
Why don't you jump?
I'd never thought of that. Good idea. Here I come. Whee!
It's no good, Sarge. He's a gunner.
Right, lads. Back to barracks.
Oh, my ears and whiskers. Oh, my ears and whiskers.
I never thought I'd be pleased to see Colin the White Rabbit. And I was right.
Oh, dear. Look at the time.
That's my watch you got there, and I want it back.
Oh, can't I keep it?
Why, you've never been able to keep time before. And that's a solid gold Rolex, that is.
Oh, I think it might be a fake.
What makes you say that?
Mickey's left hand is stuck on 13.
Is that the time already? We'll be late for the Queen's croquet. Have you got a penny farthing?
No, my BBC 7 fees haven't come through yet.
Have you got a horse, then?
No, but I've got a piano link.
Then let's go.
Well, fancy seeing you here on the Royal Croquet Lawn.
Oh, it's the talking grin again.
You took your time getting here.
I had to change out of that stupid blue dress.
Yeah, very wise. You look much better in that ball gown. Shocking pink really goes with your long blonde hair.
Thank you. I was thinking of putting it in a bun.
Oh, no. I tried that once. Tasted awful and gave me a hairball. Still, it was better than pepper.
Humph turned in amazement to see the arrival of the Queen of Hearts and her entourage. The Queen was attended by the King and the Knave of Hearts, followed by a procession of soldiers and courtiers. Bringing up the rear came Colin the White Rabbit, keeping time with a box of dried peas.
Colin! Halt!
The Knave was acting as master of ceremonies.
Pray silence for Her Majesty, the Queen of Hearts. Hurrah! I said silence.
The Queen settled herself regally upon a throne that had been set on the lawn.
Ah! My good people. Welcome. To my Royal Croquet Tournament.
Excuse me, Your Majesty.
Oh. What is it, my dear?
I think you may have been the victim of one of our trademark spelling mistakes.
What? Well,
you're called the Queen of Hearts, and yet...
And yet what?
It's Hearts with an H, not Hearts with an F. Because Hearts with an H goes, huh, not f.
Who is this little girl, Liza Minnelli?
No, Your Majesty, she is a late entrant for the croquet.
And very pretty she looks.
Indeed, Your Majesty. And may I remind you of your optician's appointment next Tuesday?
On with the croquet. Off you go, young lady. As you can see, your croquet mallet is a flamingo and your ball is a hedgehog.
Isn't that terribly cruel?
Oh, not at all. They're glad of the work now the BBC has slashed all the wildlife programmes.
Right, here goes.
Be gentle with me.
A talking flamingo.
Hello, my name's Timmy, and I'll be your mallet this afternoon.
Let the game begin.
Hang on. I'm not sure I know how to play this croquet. Perhaps somebody could explain the rules and subtleties of the game.
Afternoon, all.
Afternoon, all.
Oh, and who are you two identical chubby little chaps in stripy pants? And amusing caps.
You must know who we are.
You must know.
Who we are.
Who we are.
I'm afraid I haven't had the pleasure, but the night is young.
We're brothers.
Both of us.
That's right. I'm Tweedledum.
And I'm Jack D.
You must... You must have heard of us. We're always arguing.
No, we're not.
Yes, you are.
So are you.
No, I'm not.
I can't argue on my own.
Yes, you can.
No, I can't. Yes, I can. No, I can't.
See, you can.
Damn, you duped me with a dislocated logical construct.
Yes, I did.
No, you didn't.
It's all right, boys. We get the idea. Now, why are you here?
We're here to explain the rules.
Of the game of croquet.
Of the croquet.
Good idea. And may I suggest you do it in the manner of Cheddar Gorge?
Why
is
it
called
Cheddar
Gorge?
You'd have to ask Somerset County Council. They own it. In fact, lots of games are named after places. There's Cumberland Gap, which basically involves running a sweatshop in the Lake District. And of course, there's the ever-popular Dogger Bank, which involves having sex outside an Essex branch of Barclays. OK, let's hear the rules of croquet, taking one word each at a time, please. Tweedledum and Jack D.
First,
you
take
a
posh
vicar
and
a
stick
called
a
mallet.
Then
you
hit
a
vicar
with
a
ball
called
a
shuttlecock.
The
shuttlecock
is
also
called
Norman.
Advisably,
when
you
play
croquet,
first
you
hit
the
cat
with
an
anvil.
The
cat
will
then
respond
angrily.
But
you
have
always
crushed
the
cat
into
pulp.
Sorry, which game is this?
Your turn.
Afterwards,
relax
with
a
nice
spritzer
on
the
lawn
of
the
Christmas
vicar.
Games
like
croquet
are
tricky
and
erotic,
but
pointless.
So,
don't
ever
play
croquet
at
your
leisure.
Splendid! Did you get all that, my dear?
Sorry, I was miles away.
Me lords, me ladies, and me rest of yous, let the croquet commence.
Here goes.
Oh, me nose.
Foul. The young lady, curiously named as Humph, was offside and by a reckless use of a Shoreditch loop, obstructing Her Majesty at the hoop mouth, well within the penalty area. Foul, red card.
Off with her head.
What? You can't do that.
Oh, very well, off with her body.
No Littleton has ever been beheaded. The closest we came was the first Humphrey Littleton, who was hung, drawn and quartered at Guildford for his part in the gunpowder plot. Family were okay about hung, drawn and quartered, but imagine the shame it brought upon the family. Guildford.
Very well. Throw her in prison. The game is over.
And with that, the Queen stormed grumpily out of the garden. Sadly, we don't have a recording of that, but the BBC have a recording of her storming grumpily into the garden. So we'll use that instead.
damn documentary. Maybe it's a ridiculous American film because I don't know why I'm putting up with this.
Well, Grin, I don't think much of this. Bundled into a tiny cage and facing the chop.
I felt much the same when they took me to the vets.
What happened?
It's a bit personal, but he got hold of my... And then he...
No more fur balls, then.
Oh. 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 Oh.
Who's there?
Woe is me. 35 long years I've been held against my will, with no hope of escape, nor anything to ease the mental torture.
Welcome to my world.
35 long years in solitary, and to make it worse, they've encased my head in a cruel iron mask. They call me the man in the wrong story.
I know the feeling.
But how it does my heart good to hear the voice of a woman.
Don't let this ball gown fool you.
I believe he was referring to me. Achoo!
Duchess, what are you doing here?
Like you, I am waiting execution, and all because the Queen caught me cheating.
At croquet?
With her husband.
Say, it were a three in a bed romp, and now I'm in here all alone, apart from you, the cat and cook.
And the man in the wrong story.
And the griffin and the mock turtle over there.
Oh, that's another thing I couldn't take about solitary confinement. The overcrowding.
How do you do? I am the griffin. Call me Griff.
And I am the mock turtle. We're easy to tell apart. You'll notice the griffin's got the back end of a lion and the front end of an eagle.
So he has.
Yes, that's my lunch.
You're probably wondering why they call me a mock turtle.
No.
I was a real turtle once. When I was little, we all went to school, and our old schoolmaster, we called him the tortoise.
And why did you call your schoolmaster the tortoise?
Because he was a tortoise. And now, whenever I tell that story, people mock me.
So that's why they call you the mock turtle.
Is it? I never thought of that, you know.
I notice time passes very slowly in here.
As the sun rose, the jailer got ready to clock off. He doubled up as a carpenter, and indeed he was doubled up when his fellow jailer arrived to relieve him. The carpenter's fellow jailer, incidentally, was a walrus.
Hamish. Dougal, you'll have had your tea.
Well, if you happen to have a bucket of fish handy...
I'm sorry, no. I've had PG tips and rock buns.
But you keep smiling.
I put a brave face on it.
I know, you showed me. You're a dab hand with a magic marker, no mistake.
Well, my shift is just about finished.
I'd seen better days, right enough.
But I don't like to wear my best kilt down here.
No, you prefer to wear it right up there, don't you?
Well, I have the legs for it.
You do, not to mention the sheer nerve. Who do we have in the cells today?
A bunch of croquet hooligans.
Oh, they'll be up for the chop.
Oh, they're out of luck. I had it for my lunch.
Look here, we'd better get them to court for the trial.
Oh, why? Usual routine?
Usual routine. Well, that's got your wallet open. Is the... Is the key in there?
Aye, it is. Now for the door.
Good.
Right.
right, you lot, on your feet. The trial is about to commence.
It's off to court with you.
Away.
Silence in court. I said silence.
The courtroom was packed. The King of Hearts was officiating as judge, and Humph and his fellow prisoners filed into the courtroom.
Call the accused.
Call the Knave of Hearts.
Call the Knave of Hearts.
Call the Knave of Hearts.
I'm over here.
You are the Knave of Hearts?
Yes.
You faced the charge that on or about yesterday, you did, with malice in Wonderland, steal the tarts, being the property of Her Majesty the Queen. How do you plead?
Pretty damn convincingly.
We shall see. Call the first witness.
Call the Queen of Hearts.
Call the Queen of Hearts.
Call the Queen of Hearts.
You are the Queen of...
Call the Queen of Hearts!
You are the Queen of Hearts?
Yes, dear, and I promise to tell the truth, the whole truth. And nothing but the truth.
Your Majesty, would I be right in saying that you are renowned for your raspberry tarts?
Yes, you could say that.
Objection.
What?
The time has come.
The walrus said.
To talk of many things.
Of shoes and ships and sealing wax.
Of cabbages and kings.
Of what?
Cabbages.
Cabbages? No, no, no. We had enough trouble with raspberry tarts. Insufficient evidence. Case dismissed.
Hey!
Disgraceful. This is a travesty, a blatant miscarriage of justice.
What? Who said that?
I do apologise, Your Majesty. That was my sporran. It's got a mind of its own.
A talking sporran? Well, now I've seen everything.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'll adjust my kilt.
Right, next case. What are the charges?
My dear, this little girl and her fellow hooligans disrupted my croquet.
How do you plead?
They're guilty. Off with their heads.
All of them?
All of them.
Including the Mad Hatter and the March Hare?
We had nothing to do with it.
We weren't even there.
Let us appeal to your better nature through the medium of music with a little number that goes like this.
Release me, let me go. For I don't you anymore.
Listen and learn, Rob.
To waste our lives would be a sin.
Release me and let me love again.
A new love, dear,
and I will always want him near.
His lips are warm while yours are cold.
Release me, my darling, let me go.
Please release me. Can't you see?
You'd be a fool to cling to me.
To live a lie would bring us pain. So
release me. Let me love again.
The King and Queen of Hearts were so moved by that performance that Humph and all his friends were taken away to have their heads chopped off.
What?
All except the man in the wrong story, who got off on a technicality, having been in detention without charge for more than 28 days.
Thank you, Your Majesty. Wrongfully imprisoned for 35 long years in this iron mask.
Off with his mask! Well, I meant take his head out of it first. But what care we? He was only a very minor character. Now, on with the beheadings.
I'm not putting up with this. Why, you're all nothing but a pack of cards.
What are you talking about?
All I want is to get home. Home, home, home.
Yeah, yeah, we heard you the first time. I don't know.
Home, 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 home.
Adjudication, Humph. Adjudication.
What?
He played seven of spades, Finsbury Park. I played ace of diamonds, Turnham Green.
But spades on the district line are always trumps.
Not always.
Trumps. Adjudication, please.
You may have noticed I dozed off during that round. That doesn't usually happen. You don't usually notice. Sorry, I just had the most awful nightmarish dream. A bunch of old men were pointlessly listing London place names.
Yes, Humphrey dozed off in the middle of a round of Mornington Crescent Bridge. And it was all a dream. And so, ladies and gentlemen, as the chill...
Do you mind? I'm in charge now. And so, ladies and gentlemen, as the chill wind of time carries aloft the solitary snowflake of destiny, and Network Southeast closes down for the week, I notice it's very nearly the end of the show. There's just time, however, to fit in a round of Swanee Kazoo, in which we meld the soothing lilt of the Swanee whistle with the rasping chirrup of the kazoo. Once a most unlikely combination, the words kazoo and Swanee whistle now go together as naturally as trumpet playing and magnetic sexual attraction. Cast, I'd like you to provide us with a rendition of Winter Wonderland to feature Tim and Graham on the Swanee whistle and the rest of you on the kazoo. In the meantime, from all of us, have a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Goodbye.
In Wonderland starred Humphrey Lyttelton with Timbrook Taylor, Rob Brydon, Barry Cryer, Jack D, Graham Garden, Andy Hamilton, Jeremy Hardy, Tony Hawks, Colin Sell and Sandy Toksvig. It was written by Graham Garden and Ian Pattinson with musical arrangements by Colin Sell at the piano, assisted by John Rhys-Jones on bass and Adrian McIntosh on drums. The producer was John Naismith and it was a random production for BBC Radio 4.
And Humph and the teams will be back with I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue in the new year.